All right, brethren, let's go back here now to 1 Kings 17. My subject is provision by God's Word. In this chapter, we see over and over the Word of the Lord. According to the Word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord. God provided for Elisha and this widow and her house by His Word. Everything our Lord did here, He did by His Word. He provided for Elisha. Provided for the widow and her house by His Word. Now, God's Word is concerning Christ Jesus, His Son, our salvation. He is the Word. He is the Word who became flesh. And through the Word of the Lord, He regenerates us. He gives us faith. He sustains our faith. He provides all our needs in this world. He protects us from all our enemies by His Word. He preserves us unto the end. All of this by His Word. By His Word. Now this is the introduction here of Elijah. He just comes on the scene. And his name is a compound of Eli and Jah. And it means God Jehovah. God Jehovah. He's sent of God. He comes forth to Israel when they were full of sin and idolatry. The same as Christ when He came the first time. They were in the same shape then. And his genealogy is not given. Elijah's genealogy is not given. We're not certain where he came from. And in the end, he's taken up in a whirlwind. God's Son is God Jehovah without beginning or ending of days. He was sent from heaven by God, came into this world and accomplished the redemption of His people, and then He ascended up in a cloud to heaven, and He shall return in like manner as He went. Now Elijah was sent here in the opening verse to declare judgment upon Israel due to Israel's sin and idolatry. They had hired a multitude of false prophets, and they were worshiping under evergreen tree, Jeroboam had made it to where they didn't have to go up to Jerusalem anymore. There was too much trouble for them, and just made it easy for them to bow down to an idol wherever they were. And Elijah came here, and it said in verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitant of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. God withheld rain for 3.5 years. And worse than that, God removed His word by removing Elijah, the prophet. Now, in the scripture here, He says there shall not be dew nor rain these years. It's 3.5 years. And in the scripture, the gospel is compared to dew and rain. It's called dew and rain. And it was this way in Elijah's day, it was this way when our Lord came the first time. And if you read old preachers and their writings, in every generation, men have described it this way, as a famine of the Word, a drought of the Word. And God promised this. He said in Amos 8:11, He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Hearing the words of the Lord. Famine of the Word. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Now that's how it is in our day. The same judgments upon our nation, it's upon the whole world, and there is a famine of the hearing of the gospel of God's sovereign grace in Christ. But for those 3.5 years, for the whole time that famine was, by His Word, according to His Word, God provided for Elijah, and He provided for this helpless widow of Sarepta and her house. He provided for Elijah. He provided for this widow and her house. And God provides for His church in this wilderness. He provides for His church in this wilderness. He does it by His Word. And He has us here, because He's sending us to call out His elect, just like He sent Elijah to this widow of Sarepta. And God's going to provide. He's going to provide for His people. Over in Revelation 12:14, it says, to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. Elijah here is fixing to go into the wilderness. And that's a picture of God's whole church. We're in the wilderness. But he said, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. That corresponds to that 3.5 years that Elisha and his widow was provided for. It means a set time. As long as God's pleased, he has a set time. And until Christ returns, as long as he has some elect on this earth, he's going to provide for his church as he's calling out his people until the last one's called out. He's not left himself without a witness in any generation. But the truth of the gospel has always been in the minority in every generation. But he hasn't left himself without a witness. He's reserved his elect unto himself, and he's calling them out through his word, and he's going to provide for his church by his word. Now that's what we have here typified or seen by example in Elijah. Now he's one that's been called. He's been sent by God to bear witness of the Lord, just as we, as the Lord's church, are. This is so of God's preachers, it's so of his people that he's already called. And we see here God kept Elijah humble. He kept him depending on the Lord, trusting the word of the Lord. And that's what the Lord's going to do for his church that he's called. He says here in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now, Scripture tells us Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. We see him several times here, very bold, and can be very, very hot in his speaking, and he was fit for the people to whom God sent him to, because he needed this. He needed to be this way. But he went there and spoke to the king Ahab, the king of the whole land, and said, God is sending a famine on this land. And he had been put in his heart to pray for this, and he prayed for this, and God did it. Now, if you had done all that, that would be very easy to puff you up. That'd be very easy to cause you to think of ourselves more than we ought and think that we're something when we're nothing. Well, the Lord is going to make sure that he keeps his servant humble. And so the Lord sent Elijah into the wilderness. Sent him into the wilderness. It wasn't so much for his protection as it was to send him away from Israel. And sent him there, and he told him when he went there, he was going to provide for him. Now, the servant is not greater than his Lord. We see in Elijah here, too, a very good picture of Christ. And our Lord came down to this earth. The Son of God took flesh. And when he walked this earth, the same sin and idolatry was in Israel as it was in Elijah's day, as it is in our day. But Christ trusted the Father to provide for all his needs as he walked this earth. He took the form of a servant. And in perfect faith and perfect holiness of heart, without any sin, without any wavering whatsoever, our Lord depended upon God his Father as he walked this earth. He said, I have meat to eat you know not of. And our Lord accomplished redemption. He accomplished making his people the righteousness of God in him. He fulfilled all the law and the prophets. And then he sent his word to us. And by his word, he's given us life. He's given us faith. He's given us eternal life in him, made us to know we're the righteousness of God in him. And he's going to sustain that faith. But now, brethren, the servant's not greater than our Lord. He's sending us forth to preach his word just like he did Elijah. But he's going to keep his people humbly depending upon him. By the same word that Elijah sent to deliver, Elijah is made to depend upon that word and believe that word of the Lord. And that's the same for you and me. He's going to keep us humble by the same word. And we're walking through this world depending on our Lord, according to his word, to provide everything we need. Everything. God, our Savior, provides by His Word in ways that's going to make it obvious that He gets the glory. He says here in verse 4, our Lord says here, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded. There's the word of the Lord again. You're going to drink of this brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now, the Lord's providing for his church by his word, just like he provided for Elijah here. And the Lord provided by means contrary to nature. The ravens, he used ravens. It's the nature of ravens to eat meat, not to bring it to a man. And they even deny their young meat so they can eat it for themselves. They'll let their young starve to death that they might have the meat. But the Lord said this to Job. He said, who provideth for the raven his food when his young ones cry unto God? They wander for lack of meat. God does. He said in Psalm 147:9, he giveth to the young ravens when they cry. God's in control of everything. By his word, God made these ravens bring Elijah bread in the morning and in the evening and meat. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. There's nobody that can resist God's command. When God speaks effectually into the heart, every person obeys, every beast obeys, even a raven obeys God. And the men of this world, all things are yours. And God uses all things that he's created, man and beast, and he's providing for his people. And he's able to use everything at his disposal to provide for his people. Now, it's amazing that the Lord used ravens to do this. But you know what's more amazing in this than that? That God gives sinners like us a new nature so that contrary to our nature, we actually believe the word of the Lord. And feast by faith upon the true bread from heaven and drink of the true brook, the true fountain of living waters. That's what's amazing. It's amazing that Elisha believed God and went there and trusted God to feed him by ravens. That's the real miracle. Our Lord said, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. I'm the living bread. He came down and gave himself. He came down and laid down his life for his people. He will certainly provide for us. He provided himself. God provided his son. Christ provided his own body. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I'll give is my flesh, which I'll give for the life of the world. So Christ, our living Redeemer, he's the one that's providing all our daily needs. Everything we need. Everything we need. You know what we need? Exactly what we have right now. Exactly what we need. That's what he's provided. That's what he'll continue to provide. Verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. God provided all he needed in the morning and all he needed in the evening. God gives grace for today. He gives grace for today. That's God's promise to us. He gives us this day our daily bread. Elijah will not be rich. God's not going to let his preacher be rich. He's not even going to be given more than he needs. He won't starve, though. He's given bread as he needs it. And that's what the Lord's doing for us. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Now that must have humbled Elijah to go there and be fed by ravens and drink from a brook. That must have humbled him and strengthened his faith that the Lord was really providing for him. And that's really what humility is. Humility is being put in a place where we have to trust the Lord. That's what true faith is. It's humbly trusting the Lord to provide all. The Lord told Isaac, Abraham told Isaac, the Lord shall provide. He shall see to it. He shall see to it. He did on the cross, and he shall in our daily needs. And then secondly, the reason the Lord had Elijah here and the reason he has his church in this earth is he's going to provide all the need for his elect who are yet lost in this wilderness. He's going to bring us to all who are his. He's going to bring his elect to hear him. He's going to do that by his word. This is why he's providing for his church. What we need to preach his word. What we need to spread his word to his lost sheep. That's what he's doing. Verse 7. It came to pass that after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, God works all things in providence to dry up whatever brook we depend upon in order to keep us trusting the giver and not the gifts. Whatever brook we're depending on, he's going to dry it up. He's going to dry it up. He's going to keep us trusting the giver rather than the gifts. He will dry up any brook he needs to dry up to move us where he would have us to move. To move us to do what he would have us to do. It wasn't providence alone. It wasn't just the brook drying up alone. It was the word of the Lord that came to him. The word of the Lord. If we discern God's will in providence, just only by the providence. If Elijah had done that, he could have looked at this and thought, well, God's against him because he dried up the brook. But we discern providence by the word of God, by what God has done, is doing, and shall do according to his word. And God gives faith by his word. And just like he dried up this brook and the word came to Elijah, told him, he's going to tell him to go somewhere. And Elijah's going to do this by faith. And then the Lord's going to, through his word, give faith. He said here in verse 9, the Lord said to him, arise, get thee to Sarepta, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God's ways are not our ways, are they? First, God takes him out in the wilderness, and he has to depend on ravens to feed him. Now he's sending his prophet down to a Gentile land with people who are as idolatrous as Israel to a widow woman to sustain him. This is more miraculous than God using ravens. He's going to use a Gentile widow woman to sustain him. But the Lord said, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Who is this widow woman? We don't know her name. We're not told who she is. She's one of God's elect. She's a picture of every elect child of God, whether they're Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, rich or poor, wherever they are in this world, she's a picture of all God's elect. A widow who is a widow indeed, who has no way of providing for herself and no family to provide for her, is an excellent picture of God's elect as we come into this world. We're totally incapable of doing anything to save ourselves. But this is one of his elect. Look over at Luke 4, verse 25. You recall when our Lord, one of his first publicly recorded messages, he stood up in synagogue and he preached, and this is what he said. Luke 4, 25. He said, verse 24, I say, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Verse 28 says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." Why were they so angry? Because they heard that God passed by all these widows that were in Israel. They were all starving too. There was a famine in all the land. There was no difference between the widows in Israel and this widow in Sarepta. There was a bunch of widows in these Gentile lands that were starving. There was widows everywhere. Famine was everywhere. And God passed by those in Israel and went to this widow who was a Gentile. Why? Because she was one God chose from before the foundation of the world. And that angered them. They thought they deserved something because of who they were. Abraham was their natural father. They had all these works to their credit, they thought. And they did all these ceremonies. They'd done all this in religion. And the Lord spoke to them and made them know they were not the children of God. Simply because that they were born of Abraham didn't make them the children of God. There was no difference in any of these widows whatsoever. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no difference in any sinner God saved. We are sinners. We are sinners. We are sinners who have to be made righteous by the righteousness of Christ alone. We have to be justified by the blood of our Redeemer alone. We have to be created anew by the Spirit of our God so that there is a new man created in whom is no sin, who's brought to believe on Christ in whom is no sin, so that in that union, God can receive you as being one who's totally without sin and perfectly righteous, as righteous as God. Not all are God's elect. The difference is God's sovereign electing grace. He chooses whom he will. Now, before Elijah gets there, he don't know who she is. He don't have a clue who she is. But before he gets there, listen to what God said. "Behold, I have commanded her," God said. That's grace before grace. That's what they used to call prevenient grace. God prepared this woman to receive his servant who's going to speak his word to her. Now, God regenerates and he calls to faith by his word, by his gospel, through the preaching of the gospel, using the truth of the gospel. He can do that. He's capable. We're going to see that. He's able to get the truth of the gospel to his people and call his people through the truth. But before he ever quickens and regenerates with the word of truth, what is it that even makes one of God's elect paths to cross with the gospel? What is it that makes them even willing to give an ear to God's preacher? What is it make them even willing to listen? It's grace before grace. Grace before grace. God said, "Behold, I've commanded her." I have, God said. Elijah's not even there yet. Well, God always brings to pass what God has promised. He says here in verse 10, "So Elijah arose and he went to Sarepta. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering sticks. The Lord directed Elijah to the gate of the city, and behold, the widow woman was there." God sent Philip out into the desert, and he didn't know why. He didn't know where he was going to. And God sent him out into the desert, and behold, the Ethiopian eunuch was there. God forbid Paul to go preach in Bithynia, and sent him to Macedonia, where God had commanded Lydia, and behold, Lydia was there. God rules all things to bring his gospel to each of his elect in truth. And this widow was there because God brought her there, even as he brought Elijah there. She was there because he brought her there. He was there because the Lord brought him there. All of this by the word of the Lord. Now, Elijah don't know who the widow is. He just sees a woman at the gate, and he don't know who the widow is. I doubt seriously he even knew if she was a widow. But he gets there, and he beholds this woman, and so he calls to her. Verse 10, it says, "And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Now, when the Lord walked this earth, he knew where his elect were. And our Lord went to Samaria and he sat on a well. And when the woman came there to the well, remember what he said? Give me a little drink of water. He opened up the conversation. The Lord knew where this woman was. And he's the one who moved Elijah there and then moved Elijah to ask her, give me a drink. And he'll do the same for us. He'll cross your path and he'll give you, he'll just open the door and you'll have the opportunity to speak. And you'll speak when he's commanded it. And that one that he's commanded, grace before grace, to hear you, they'll hear you. They'll hear you. Well, when he does this, what's the Lord going to do? He's going to make us confess our absolute, total, thorough inability. Our complete and total need. Now, she was willing to go get him some water. Just go over here to the well and get some water. There's plenty over there. She's willing to go do that. Verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and he said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. And a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. This is a famine. She has nothing. This is all she has. This is all she has. This is where Christ finds his elect right here. Gathering sticks to kindle our own fire. That's what she's doing. Gathering some sticks to kindle her fire to eat our earthly bread, the work of our hands, with a heart that says, I got to provide for me first. I don't have anything to give to anybody. I got to provide for me. And then after all that, she just expected to die. Christ finds his elect hopeless. She had no expectancy of living. Hopeless. He finds them helpless. She had no ability. He finds us selfish. She's just worried about herself and her son. He finds us dead, dying sinners. If our confidence is in anything of ourselves, some little meal or some little cruse of oil, we're not resting in Christ. But Christ is going to make his sheep hear him. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They're going to hear his voice, and he's going to know them. And by that regenerating knowing of them, they're going to follow him. The Lord makes his child hear his word. His word. He makes us hear it in power, and he makes us believe on him. Verse 13. And Elisha said to her, fear not. Christ is going to speak into the heart and he's going to say, fear not. She's worried about death. She's worried about dying. She's worried that she don't have anything. Her children are dying. He speaks and he's going to say, fear not. And he commands repentance. When he speaks and he speaks his word, he commands repentance to give to him first. She has her natural mind set on providing for herself and her child. Now, we understand that. That's natural. But Christ is going to change our mind to where he's going to be preeminent. He's going to be first. Verse 13, he said, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And his word comes with a promise. He's going to speak and he's going to say, fear not. He's going to speak and he's going to change our mind. He's going to make himself first in our heart. But this word's coming with a promise. He says, verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the covenant-keeping God of his elect Israel. Thus says the covenant-keeping God of his elect, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now this is going to require faith. And just put yourself in her shoes. It's all she has. It's all she has right here.
And she got a child to feed. And she doesn't even expect it. This is her last meal. This is their last meal, and they're dying. I mean, I could just picture them famished. I picture them, their bellies all shrunk, and they're shriveled, and they're dying. It's going to require faith in her. And this required faith in Elijah, too. Elijah has no power to make this promise come to pass. Now, let me ask you something. When you read this, God-given faith is the only thing that made this a work on Elijah's part. Without faith, this is just a charlatan preacher trying to take advantage of a widow woman. What made it a good work? It was done in faith, trusting the Lord, at the word of the Lord. Faith in Christ in the heart is what makes the difference in a work being a good work and an evil work. You take Rahab. Rahab hid some foreign spies, and when the king of Jericho's men came, she lied to them and sent these spies out another way. Now, if that hadn't have been faith in her heart, and she wasn't doing that for faith, that would have been high treason. But it was a good work because she did it believing God. Take Abraham for an example. Abraham is going up a mountain to burn his son on an altar. Do you know what the worshipers of Moloch were doing all around? They were burning their children to their idol God. And if you just saw Abraham doing that, you would say, Abraham's turned into a worshiper of Moloch. But it was a good work because God gave him faith in his heart, and he was doing what God commanded him to do. And Elisha here believed God. This was a work of faith. He believed God. He believed God was going to make that cruise not run out and that bread not run out. And that's why he told this woman what he told her. Notice this word first. This word first. By nature, she wanted to do for herself first and for her son. And Christ says, when he comes, he says, give to me first. Give to me first. He must have the preeminence. Give to me first. In Matthew 6, in verse 30, let me read this. Matthew 6. He said, O ye of little faith. He says, take no thought, verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? All these things do the Gentiles seek. This is what the unbelieving world is worried about. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first, preeminently, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Christ our righteousness. And all these things should be added to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow take thought for the things of itself. He's given us today our daily bread. Now, unbelief said this, I only have enough for me and my family. That's what unbelief said. I only have enough for me and my family. Unbelief says, I bought a piece of ground. I must need go and see to it. I pray thee have me excused. Unbelief says, I bought 5 yokes of oxen and I got to go prove them. I pray have me excused. Unbelief says, I've married a wife that I can't come. Unbelief says, Lord, suffer me first go bury my father. Those excuses are the same as if she held on to that meal and that oil for herself. It'd be no different than a man trusting his own works for salvation. When God gives faith, God's word makes Christ preeminent in the heart, so that you say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Not just when times are good, when this is it, when you got one meal left, and the Lord says, trust me. Give it to me first. You think of that widow with the two mites. The Lord said she gave more than all of them. Why? They gave out of their abundance. She gave everything she had. This woman gave up trusting her carnal reason, and she believed God's able to do what's impossible with men. Pink said, "Where God gives faith, God's word's the end to the carnal reasoning of unbelief. Unbelief puts circumstances between the soul and God. Faith puts God between the soul and circumstances." Whew, that's a good statement. That's a really good statement. Unbelief puts circumstances between the soul and God. Faith puts God between the soul and circumstances. Repentance comes with faith so that we give up trusting ourselves. We give up reasoning, and it seems only reasonable to trust the Lord rather than our own wisdom. We have to forsake all our fleshly confidence and cast all our care on Christ. That's what the Lord said. He said, "Whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Our wisdom, our understanding of things, we have to forsake it all and trust the Lord. And by God's word, when he comes in power, we'll believe him. She believed him. By God's word, she believed him. Look here in verse 15. "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." You see, it was more than that she believed Elijah. She believed the word of the Lord, which the Lord spoke by Elijah. The Lord said to Martha, "If you believe me, if you wouldest believe me, thou shouldest see the glory of God." And by believing God, this woman found it to be exactly according to the word of the Lord. By believing God, Elijah found it to be exactly according to the Lord's word. The Lord provided for him with ravens. He went down here. He believed God. He preached the word to her. And against all carnal reasoning, God gave this woman faith. She believed the Lord, and both of them saw it to be exactly according to the word of the Lord. The cruse of oil didn't fail. The bread didn't run out. The meal didn't run out. Believing God, we find it to be according to the word of the Lord. We see God's glory, and we find that truly of God are we in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And we begin to glory only in the Lord. And believing God, we're going to find that God shall provide when it looks like that it goes beyond, it's contrary to nature, it's contrary to all reason. We're going to find that God shall provide all our lesser needs, all our days, so that we can take the word to his poor, starving, elect widows scattered throughout this world. And he's going to quicken them by this word till he's saved every single one. Why is this so certain? Thus saith the Lord. The word of the Lord has spoken it. That's why it's certain. We either believe the word of God or we don't. We either cast it all on Christ, giving up our little bit of meal that we have and our little bit of oil we have some confidence in, give it all up for Christ and trust him. Or we hang on to that little bit of meal and that little cruse of oil, and we go through this life eating just what these carnal things, and then die. Believe God and it shall be even as it was told to you. I believe that. I believe that. Against anything you see with these eyes, God shall make good on his word. He gave his son. He shall. Amen. Father, help us to believe you. Help us to look above things below. Help us to see you provide. using things like ravens and ways we could never even imagine. Lord, keep this word alive in our hearts and keep us believing you and looking to you. Feed us the living bread. Lead us to the fountain of living waters. Give us, Lord, an entire change of mind concerning our everything that's of us. Keep us trusting you alone. Lord, we thank you for this word. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, make this word by your will, according to your good purpose, Lord. Prepare the heart. Command the blessing. Make your poor children hear. Make us believe. Forgive us, Lord, our unbelief. Forgive us our sin. They're many. They're multiplied. They're far worse than we think. Lord, help us to see that about ourselves. Put us so in the dust that all we can do is look to you. And Lord, be with your suffering people. Be with those that are suffering over loss of brethren, loss of loved ones, and be with those who are brook is dried up by their physical health and or their money, or make them trust your word. Know that all is well. You're ruling, you're reigning, your word shall come to pass. Lord, this is, we trust you. Trust you. Won't let us be ashamed for trusting you. Thank you, Father. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.